Very important story today. We promised you, I think it was well over a week ago now, that we would get our team to continue digging in to the story around the 1% pay increase for our health service workers in Northern Ireland. Remember the basics around this. The money is there. Money has been left over for our nurses and other health service workers. And there's been quite a lot of noise around this, because people have been saying, well, in an ideal situation, a minister is required to release the money. And we promised you over a week ago that we would dig into this. Was that really the case? Because if you look at the fine detail of actually what was being said, it was sentences like this. In the minister ideally should be in place to release the money. It would be better for Northern Ireland if a minister was releasing the money. We have a line from the Northern Ireland office this morning. They have told the Nolan Show, as the Secretary of State made clear during the Budget Act, spending decisions remain devolved. In the continued absence of an executive, those decisions fall to the Northern Ireland Civil Service. So it is crystal clear. The Northern Ireland office are saying this morning that spending decisions fall to the Northern Ireland Civil Service. The man at the top of the Civil Service is called David Stirling. He earns between 140 and 170 odd thousand pounds a year. And he is the man not releasing the money to health service staff in Northern Ireland. We have asked Mr. Stirling through the executive office if there is any legislation that they can provide to the Nolan Show to indicate that he cannot release the money. That question was ducked by the executive office. We asked if Mr. Stirling can provide approval. That question was ducked by the executive office. So this morning, we're in a situation where we have a document in front of us where the Northern Ireland office, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, is clearly saying this does not need a minister to release the money. Anne Stirling is from Unison. Good morning to you, Anne.
Good morning, and the name is Anne Speed.
Anne Speed. Sorry, Anne. Sorry.
No problem. Thank you.
So, your reaction to this?
Well, first of all, thank you to the programme for continuing with this story. Our reaction is quite simple. Pay the money. This money is due since the 1st of April. The more we examine what has exactly happened, the more we come to the same conclusion as the programme, is that steps can be taken now to pay workers. And I'm looking at the results of the debate on Monday, which our union, Unison, was involved in securing through sponsorship by the Labour Party. And in answer to a question from a Labour MP, Secretary to the Treasury, Andrew Jones, said precisely the same thing, which has activated our determination once again to get access to the money that workers are owed. And something needs to happen within the next couple of days to get that done.
Yeah, you're talking about a different debate, but let you hear, Anne, and the country hear this morning what James Brokenshire said during the Northern Ireland budget debate. He was crystal clear about this. Let's have a listen.
This is a point the Right Honourable Gentleman has made on a previous occasion, and I understand the accountability and feel that issue very keenly at this point in time, because at this stage it remains devolved. These issues remain devolved, and whilst we are seeking to set a headline outline budget in relation to top line issues, top line numbers in respect of each of the different departments of the Northern Ireland Civil Service, we are not seeking to provide that level of specificity, that level of detail. And therefore, yes, of course, you know, I continue to raise points, raise issues with David Stirling, the head of the Northern Ireland Civil Service, but ultimately he remains accountable with the legislation, the emergency provisions that exist within the Northern Ireland Act, and obviously the duties that he remains under through that mechanism. So that is, I think, the unsatisfactory situation that we remain in, and why I say to the Honourable Gentleman that this is sustainable for some time, but not that this cannot continue for an extended period.
You will have noticed there, James Brokenshire referring to the emergency provisions. Like, how is this not farcical in Northern Ireland when you have the Northern Ireland Secretary referring to those emergency provisions which afford David Stirling, the head of the civil service in Northern Ireland, power? And when we go to the executive office representing Mr. Stirling, they say they do not know what the Secretary of State was talking about. Now, these are all of these people who are saying they don't know what the Secretary of State of Northern Ireland was talking about. All of these people are affecting our hardworking nurses, care workers, the staff in the NHS who save lives. So do you know what, to the executive office this morning? Here's a question. Don't you think you should establish what the Secretary of State was talking about? Is it not your job to establish what he was talking about, and to the head of the civil service in Northern Ireland? You are on a significant salary in this country, and that's the going rate for the job. You deserve every penny of it, I'm sure many people would argue. But do the health service workers on the ground who are earning a fraction of what you're earning, Mr. Stirling, do they deserve at least clarity from you as to why you're the man not releasing this money?
And Stephen, if I could respond to that, I also read that debate, I think it was the 13th of November, and during that debate, Mr. Brokenshire also reminded us that the budget that he was approving must be seen as ordinarily going through an assembly and an executive decision here in Northern Ireland. So, if you like, it becomes, his action becomes the action that would have ordinarily taken place here in Northern Ireland. And in that context, I cannot for the life of me see then why the 26 million and what was due to workers wasn't addressed and included in the recommendations from the civil service.
We have a reply here from the Department of Finance. And if you can all bear with us this morning, because each individual word is really important, OK? The Department of Finance have told the Nolan Show, pay awards for individual staff groups need to be agreed in line with overarching Northern Ireland public sector pay policy. The setting of pay policy has been a matter for the Minister of Finance to determine. And in the absence of an executive, Northern Ireland pay policy has not yet been set by 2017-18. So what they're doing in that statement is they're just setting out a statement of fact. They're just saying, look, in the absence of a minister, pay policy hasn't been set. Well, we know that. That is still not telling us or denying that David Stirling has the power to release this money. And the Department of Finance conclude in their statement to the Nolan Show, wait for this, in the current circumstances, consideration is being given as to how this issue can be resolved as soon as possible. What does that mean? Like, what is actually, when they write that down, do they not expect someone like me to say, well, that doesn't make it clear to the public? Consideration is being given. What consideration? By whom? Is that confirmation that David Stirling is considering it? Who considers it in the absence of a minister? And what we need to do, surely, is take all the smoke and mirrors out of this, and the question remains from this programme. It is not for this programme to take a view, because we're not allowed to, nor would we, on whether this money should or should not be released to the health service workers of Northern Ireland. That is a decision for others. But it is very much for this programme to clear all of the noise away. And it remains a statement of fact that the NIO has told this programme that Stirling, Mr. Stirling, can release the money. Anne Speed, what are you going to do about this?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is communicate with Mr. Stirling this morning. We have a letter drafted which will be signed off, and not just unison, by the negotiating team for the health service. And we'll be asking for a very quick response to the question that you've just posed. If it's in the positive, that would be a good thing that we've all done, including, obviously, assistance from yourself in highlighting this issue. And if not, we'll be consulting with our members, because I think in an environment where we're 3% behind pay rates across the rest of the NHS, Scotland, England and Wales, we're not going to sit back and accept this. I know we're entering the Christmas period and all of that, but let me tell you, come early in the new year, if this matter is not resolved, we will not be sitting back and accepting this.
What does that mean?
Well, health workers have lots of ways to express their opinion. They can lobby, they can take forms of action which bring the issue to the fore. They certainly can consider the role of the employers in this. I mean, the health service employers here, we have asked them to put their shoulder to the wheel and assist us in trying to resolve this matter. We'll certainly be asking them what they've done. And the question of whether or not an industrial dispute in the classic sense exists, but certainly there is a political...
Are you saying that among the options that you're considering is industrial action?
Well, we certainly will look at what, within the confines of the law and within the confines of what forms of trade dispute with the employer, who've told us they can do nothing because they can't get the money from the department. We certainly will be looking at all avenues to bring pressure to bear, but we will not be sitting back and accepting this.
So, again, I would expect you to be as clear as I'm expecting others, Anne. You're considering industrial action if this money is not paid. Is that correct?
We're considering having that conversation with our membership. At the end of the day, the membership across all the health affiliate unions will take a view on that and will come to a conclusion. But we are certainly going to have the debate with them, most definitely.
03030 80 55 55 is the number to call this morning. And if you know, you heard me say this over a week ago, when we promised to dig into this. There will be very few of you in Northern Ireland that won't have experienced the health service and therefore will not have benefited from health service staff. This money is being dangled in front of them. You know, it's a 1% pay increase. And it's being dangled in front of them in that health service staff in Northern Ireland are being told the money has been allocated. The money is there. And then they're being told, in the absence of a minister, we're not sure what we can do. In the absence of a minister, well, the money's not quite there yet. It does not need a minister, according to the Northern Ireland office. So then we need to focus on the head of the civil service, who the NIO is saying has the power. Could he please, as a matter of public interest, he is a senior civil servant in this country who has an immense amount of power at the moment. In the public interest, the question to Mr. Stirling is simple. Why are you not releasing the money to health service staff in Northern Ireland? We're getting political reaction to this breaking story this morning, but first we'll take your calls as well. Jim in West Belfast. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. This here is turning into a farce. You have a Secretary of State who is on every television and radio outlet over in the mainland Great Britain, but refuses to come on your show, the biggest platform in this country, to answer questions from the public, people like ourselves. And if what you're saying is true, and Mr. Stirling has the power to release this money, but yet he won't, you have to ask why. Why isn't he doing it? What's the agenda? So my advice to be to all the health workers, mass mobilisation up to his office and protest outside his office, or else do what you don't. Get a microphone and a camera, and if he's refusing to give an explanation, go and just ask him. Wait for him when he's out of his car, walk up and ask him, because it's not on.
Hold on. You know, we need to be careful here. Mr. Stirling is entitled to his own personal space.
Absolutely. No, I didn't say go to his house. I said go to his place of work. If this man continues to refuse to answer the questions which people are putting forward. These nurses do a wonderful job, overworked and underpaid in a system that is nearly crippled. They deserve the pay raise. If anybody needs, everyone deserves a pay raise. But my God, these men and women do fantastic work. Why isn't this man releasing the money if the money's there?
That's the question. That's the question.
And my point is, he isn't answering the question. So then, put as much effort in. Mass protest. Go to his office. Get all the nurses. March up. Protest. Bombard him. It's not on.
Can I reveal something else to you and just get your reaction to this, Jim? The executive office are saying that they do not know what the Secretary of State is talking about when he referred to emergency powers, right? Now, listen, wait for this. The executive office told the Nolan Show that we should go to the NIO and find out what the Secretary of State was talking about. Are we some type of, do they see us as some type of middleman in this? Why are they telling us that we should go to the NIO and find out? Is it not for the executive office and the civil servants who are currently in significant positions of influence in this country to go and find out what the Secretary of State meant by these emergency powers? And what type of situation do we currently have in Northern Ireland where the executive office are telling a radio programme to go and find out what James Brokenshire meant?
We have a total lack of leadership in the United Kingdom as a whole. Theresa May is a lame duck. She's done in. And Westminster could not care less about Northern Ireland. See, what you have revealed this morning would not be tolerated in England, Scotland or Wales. It wouldn't be tolerated. They would not go to a radio show and say, here, no, it is. Go you and ask that question. It wouldn't be tolerated. We are just treated so differently. Westminster is so hands-off. Brokenshire, he reminds me of Mr Bean. God love him. But he just is coming across as highly incompetent in what he's doing. How many times have you asked to come on your show and talk?
Who? Many times we asked who?
Brokenshire.
Well, numerous occasions, and it goes beyond that. One of Mr Brokenshire's representatives, special advisors, indicated to this programme on a number of occasions that James Brokenshire was scheduled to come on to the show, diaried to come on to the show, and then within a couple of days before it happened, he wasn't on. Now, that's a matter. So it was never absolutely confirmed, but it was penciled in. And then
He is the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland. So he has an obligation to represent the people of Northern Ireland.
Look, whether he comes on this show or not, to be honest with you, we'll continue with the job, and that's a matter for Mr. Brokenshire. There is significant, within minutes of us coming on air, there is significant political reaction to this. The leader of Sinn Féin, Michelle O'Neill, has tweeted this morning, since we came on air, she says, by the way, we asked for Sinn Féin representative to come on, they're not coming on, but I can see that Michelle O'Neill has tweeted this morning, I met with the head of the civil service last week. I told him that the 1% pay award for healthcare staff should be paid without delay as a step in the right direction. All public sector workers provide such a vital service and deserve to be paid accordingly. That's what Michelle O'Neill is saying this morning. Of course, she was the health minister before Stormont collapsed.